the Lord. Wonderful Jesus.
Amen.
Shall we just open our scriptures to Psalms 37, read from verse 1 down to 9.
Shall we stand?
Stand for the Lord, please. Psalms 37.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his own way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
Father, we pray this morning, we bless your name,
for
giving us a new day, and for keeping us, Lord, in the confines of your word and peace. We ask, Lord, as we fellowship in your presence, may we obtain mercy.
Yes.
Oh, we want to feel the sweetness of your presence, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Touch us mightily, Lord, and do new things in our midst. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. I greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking the Lord for his protection upon us. And the time that we parted for a short while, I was in the Philippines. It was quite a blessing. And they also, the believers, they have sent their greetings to this assembly. They want me to pass their greetings to you, and that I'm doing right now. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We had a very wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. It was quite a busy trip. From the day of my arrival, I was in Manila, and I had to move immediately to Lucent area in Quezon City, and we had meetings there in two churches, the Brother Michael. Then I came back to Manila on the weekend. I spent 4 days in Quezon City, and then at the weekend of that week, it was a Saturday, we came back and I preached on Sunday two services in the church of Brother Nonoy. And then the next day we traveled down to Mindanao Center area where we had the convention. But before the convention, I went to Kabak Barang where we had some meetings with some Pentecostal people, and they came to the church. Quite a few of them were baptized, about six persons the first day, including a pastor and a Muslim also from the mountains, also received the truth and was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we came back from Kabak Barang to Butuan, where the convention was held. The turnout was very good. The whole place was filled up. In fact, it took them by surprise because they never expected it to be that way. But we thank the Lord, we're able to put one or two things together, and it was okay. Amen. So we were refreshed in his presence. The Lord helped us to draw a straight line as we've been drawing. Mm-hmm. Amen. That there must be continuity in what he has been doing. And if we want to be among the voice that will speak with the Spirit, because at the end of the scripture, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. if we must be among those bright, that bright group that will speak with the Spirit, then we must start speaking now, because we will not speak in the future if we are not speaking now. Amen.
Okay.
So we, that line was drawn, and the Lord helped some of these ministers to actually position themselves in their choosing, because you cannot be here and there. Amen. You must know what you are doing. You must know what you are, who you are following. You must know whether you are with the Word or with some man. Amen. And the Lord Jesus was telling his the Pharisees and his disciples. He said, "If you must worship the Lord, you must know His doctrine. Whatever, that's the first thing. So if the doctrine is not right, then the worship will be wrong.
Right.
So and." You can't be with somebody who is holding a wrong doctrine and want to be right. And there is nothing like being in between. It's either you are with the light, you are in the light, or you are in darkness.
Right.
So we had some ministers' meetings, and then a few of them were able to... Some were annoyed, you know, it's always like that. You don't expect everybody to applaud you. And we had a lot of confrontations. The one that kind of... got me upset was I was talking to a Pentecostal preacher and trying to show him this truth, and then there was a preacher from the message group arguing in the presence of this particular person, trying to, oh, that's not correct, oh, no, that's not what Brother Abraham said. Oh, I said, can you just wait? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to this man. Let me finish with him. And then he was repeatedly doing this. So I sensed. And then immediately the young man said, okay, Pastor, I think both of you are not okay for now. I'll come back tomorrow. For him to say he will come back tomorrow, I knew that God had some plan for him. Amen. And the next day, not only did he come, but he came also with his another pastor, with the senior pastor of the district there, and the Lord touched them. Amen.
Amen.
And that other brother, I thank the Lord that before we left, he too was touched, and then he came and apologized. But all the same, we know that it is not, we don't look at you don't, when people try to misbehave, you don't look at the person. There is a spirit behind it.
Amen.
So you don't fight, you don't need to make enemies by fighting people. Amen.
Amen.
Because you fight this man, maybe you put him down, the spirit moves to another man, and then you keep fighting people. Amen.
Right.
But when you deal with the spirit, you get the victory. Amen.
Amen. Right.
So we thank the Lord. The believers were very much blessed. And the Lord gave us wonderful experiences. One of our sisters, the wife of one of our pastors, was to go for an operation. And it was very certain that they were all waiting and praying that this operation would be successful. And so, and we were praying, you know, having these prayer lines all the time for these healing prayer lines. And then she never came because she had just made up her mind that I think the only way out would be this operation. And then one evening, I think the third day of the convention, she came passing by while we were eating. And then another pastor made a comment and said, "Ah, sister, we need to pray for her that our operation will be successful." Then I said, I made a passing statement. I said, "Well, I think she does not want to involve Jesus before the operation. Maybe she has made up her mind to go pay the money, huge amount of money, and then get her body cut off or whatever." And then I said, "But sister, if you believe, you can just pass through the line, give 2% faith, just pass through the line. Coming alone is enough faith." Amen. When we present ourselves before the Lord is enough faith. Amen.
Amen.
So because you, in your private homes, you close your eyes, you don't see anything, but you are praying, that's faith enough. Amen.
Amen.
So she came in the next day to the prayer line, and we prayed for her. And on Monday, she went to the hospital. It was gone. The doctor couldn't see it. Amen. Because they had to examine her for Monday against Tuesday operation. They couldn't find it. And then we were receiving calls, testimonies were coming in, and people were giving glory to the Lord. So we thank the Lord for His mercy. He's given us that victory and saved a lot of money, saved a lot of pain, saved a lot of irregularity. So the Lord is good. Amen.
Amen.
He has shown us His mercy. Also, there was this sister, she was seriously under pains, and then she had a problem with her right knee, and her legs were kind of going inside, getting shorter. She came while we were having lunch after the first service in Manila, the Sunday I preached, the first Sunday I preached. And then she said, "Oh, Brother Nice, you know, I know you. I know you. I edited the part of the testimony. I was the one typing it from here. You can ask Brother again." I said, "Oh, that's good. Sit down." And then she said, we were eating together, and she said, "I have this problem, but the doctor said I have to live like this because I'm past this age, this, this, this." I said, "Well, if you believe what the doctor say, keep it. But if you can believe what Jesus can do, then come to the prayer line." And she, you know, she showed faith again. She came, sat very close to the pulpit, and then I was preaching. And then after that, she came up, and she was the first person to be prayed for. And there, it was confirmed, right there, she got her healing. And from that moment, she had been very strong. She's been giving these testimonies, giving praise to the Lord. So we thank the Lord for all His wonderful works. We, a total of 29 persons were baptized. Amen. And one evening, I remember after a service, a Presbyterian woman just believed, and then she said, "Okay, I will come tomorrow to be baptized." I said, "No, you have to be baptized now if you've made up your mind. I don't have tomorrow." And then, you know, when they went to the ocean there, to the sea to baptize, the wave was so strong that it nearly pulled another sister. So both of us, myself and Pastor Lito, Brother Lito, we didn't want to enter the water. But Brother Lito, when he saw the wave started pulling the other sister, he had to jump in. Amen. And then, you know, the enemy tried to do something that was, the wave came so strong that evening. But we thank the Lord that it was within arm's length. Amen. So the Lord bless you. I thank the Lord for meeting you again. I'll be here for another 1 week before going back home. And we trust that not just this assembly, this fellowship, that the saints of God here that are still misplaced, the Lord is going to help them. Amen. I've been trying to reach out to these brothers and sisters, talk to them. You know, you've been doing something on and on for a long time and it's not working. That's enough to tell you it is wrong.
Amen.
Yeah, you can't be in a vehicle at night with a driver that is learning. He doesn't even see well at night, and he's also a new driver in school. He has not gotten the license, he's still learning how to drive, and you want him to take you on a night journey. That's self-destructive, it's wickedness. Amen. So we pray that the Lord will identify His own. We're not going to force any man, but let God identify His own. Because when you force people on anything that's regards to faith, if there's a problem on the way, they always complain. Say, "He said this." But if he's convinced of the Lord, he will look up to the Lord. Amen.
Right.
So this morning, I want to speak briefly on maturity. Becoming what you believe. Maturity. Amen. I won't take so much time because I think the afternoon service, I have to prepare better for that. But this morning, we want to talk to ourselves. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We want to really talk to ourselves. This is our assembly. Amen.
Amen.
So we can be very free here to really
dig
some things down. Want to make a comment. You see, a few days ago, I was just thinking about this church. And I don't know if you can put that off for a while. Just leave it. Okay, he knows what to do. Amen. So I was just thinking, you know, and I said, I don't know why I asked this question. I was in Manila, and the pastor was driving me where we dropped off some brothers, and we were alone, both of us, in the vehicle. And I asked him, I said, "How do you find prophetic revelation? How do you find the worship there?" And then he said, "Well, yeah, it's good, but they're quite cool and this, that, that." So, okay. Said, "Well," I said, "they are corporate worshippers." Okay, so, but I was thinking, I just was trying to put some things in my mind. I said, "Well, I want us to kind of get involved with what is going on." Amen.
Amen.
Especially, also going to say to the young people that kind of don't allow the church program be all our program. We can create something for ourselves. Amen. That is, get together and do something for the Lord. Amen. Get together, have a sense of direction, do something for the Lord, get involved, because God, He has given you life, He has given you everything, He has given you a better environment. You need to give back to Him. Amen. Amen. And there is nothing you can do more than rendering some important services that will help to win a soul. Not necessarily bringing the soul to the church. That's another thing. But make sure that you present the Lord, and then the Lord will draw them.
Amen.
Amen. And so I was also thinking about our service. I said, why is it that all the time? You know, I've been here maybe four services, and then the first time. I said, why is it that all the time that we allow the pastor to lead the service himself, in terms of he sings the song, and maybe he preached also. I'm saying it, I hope Brother Gan is not here anyway, but what I'm saying is, we have other brothers here who can take the responsibility of doing certain things. You can lead the song and allow him to rest, and then call him to preach. So I was just thinking about it, and this morning I saw that Brother Paul led the song. And he wasn't feeling too fine also, I know. So sometimes it's good if we do this, because I know that you have a problem, a traveling pastor. Amen. So if he's not going to be around, let us have the confidence that things will go on the way and it should go. So we get involved, we put in our efforts, do whatever we can do. In terms of prayers, in terms of evangelism, in terms of even the song, change things. Let us express ourselves. All the time, we can't just be the same way we're going. The service is just taking the same way. Let us add flair to it, and then the Lord will bless us. Amen. Amen. I hope I've not offended you.
No.
Even though I offended you, there's no problem. We will settle. Amen. So please, let the young people also try as much as they can to think of something. I was in Philippines, I saw a lot of things. The young people, they had a convention of theirs whereby they were able to pass what they have been receiving from their pastor, they were able to pass to other young people. It will create kind of question. When these young people go back, they will ask their pastor some question. Why is it this thing? Why do they have this and we don't have this? There's something you have here, and when you receive all the time, you don't put out, it becomes a problem. What we are getting in is for us to give out. So where do you offload it? There must be a place where you offload this thing. So we don't just come and receive and receive and get too full. But once we get too full and then there's no offloading, it will become problems to ourselves. Amen. So if we are filled, then we should give out, so that we'll be refilled again. The Bible says, even after they were received the Holy Ghost the first time, they came again, they were praying, and the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, filled to the brim, because they were always giving out. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I said the other while, I'm talking about maturity, becoming what you believe. Amen. Now, there was this time that Nicodemus came to Jesus. The Bible says he came by night, he came at night, and then he spoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, telling him that they were following his ministry from a distance. They knew what he was doing. They knew the result the ministry of Jesus Christ was getting. But they were not able to identify with him openly, because they have already enclosed themselves by building their walls. And so a few of them were asking questions, just like what I was saying a while ago. They were asking questions. If we are of God and this man we are criticizing is not of God, why is he succeeding? It's like you look at Singapore, for example. It's just the same thing. I have heard people, I think in 2008, I was chatting with a sister in Singapore here, and she said, I can tell you, brother, the only church that is
Having a direction is the prophetic revelation. Amen. Among all the message churches. And she is not here. But then, and I couldn't ask her, why are you not there? She's not here, but she said, well, I can tell you, the only church that is having direction, that is at least, they know that they are going somewhere, they are focused, is prophetic revelation. But she's not there. She's somewhere. She's in the midst of the confusion. And then I said, okay, what do you want to do about it? She said, oh, we're just trying. And then most of the people today, I have heard, some are having hearings on their ears. They've gone back to the world. Some are doing whatever they've left the faith. Now, because when they were not placed in the right position, they have no leader. They can't be led. We were not called to lead ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
We are called to be led of the Spirit. And the Spirit will not come to lead you as in spirit. It must lead you through a man. Amen. So if we recognize this, and then we have this movement, we have this going on, then we will reach the goal. We will get to where we are going to. Amen. So we find out that this Nicodemus came to Jesus and said to him, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, sent from God. Amen?
Amen.
Because of the things we see, the result that we experience, that you are getting. He said, but, because no man can do these things except God is with him. And that's Emmanuel. No man can do this thing except Emmanuel. And that was Emmanuel he was talking to. So Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, why did Nicodemus come? You know, there were some vital people, maybe among the young people that were defecting from the mainstream, from the fellowship of the big church. Example, I talk about Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were there in the big church. They were there in the recognized church, going on. Until this Jesus came and started talking to them. Whatever he was talking to them, these other priests and pastors would not know. But one day, they found out that these young people stopped coming. They were just there. And then they would send people, because they have that organization, they have that kind of way of working, send people to find out what is happening. And they came to understand that these people are believing something new. Who is your pastor? They said, we just follow this man, you know, he's our pastor. Yo, this is your pastor? Where did he study? What certificate does he have? And where is his church building? Your church doesn't have address or whatever. So they were just a separate people going on, following the word.
Yes.
And so the big church was, they were going on trying to advise these young people that they should tread it softly, with care, because they might have missed their steps.
Mm-hmm.
But as they were going on, one day, Lazarus died. When Lazarus died, you know, just the only man among them, two women, what can they do? They will need the help of other brothers. If they belong to a better church, a church where you can have brothers and sisters in large quantity to come comfort them, help them, put things together for them, and so get them going in times of frustration like that. But this time around, they left the former church, the bigger church, where this help could have come from, and then this commotion took place.
Mm.
So they were just in disarray.
Right.
But these other church people came. They came to mourn with them and to mock them.
Right.
We told you these things. You young people will not want to listen. We have been in this thing for ages. Our forefathers kept this line, and we have come. We have not shifted the ancient landmark. And we are here, we've been here all the while, and we try to lead you so that we can have this tradition continue. Now you left, now look at what has happened. This is the sign. The death of your brother is a sign that where you are is wrong. Okay, where is your pastor? He's nowhere to be found. When Lazarus was sick, they called him. Amen. Probably maybe it was in Manila. I said, oh, Lazarus, your friend whom you love is very sick. Please come down and see what we can do. We don't have enough money to go to the hospital, or maybe we need prayers or whatever. He left Manila and went to Japan. He went further. What type of pastor is this? And they asked, when is he coming? The people were asking, because they have their agents. They keep sending to them. Most times, we want people to come and console us. We want people to pity us. We have problems. We try to tell it to people. We don't have this character of being patient enough to wait. absorb certain pressure and allow God to do what he wants to do. So we start talking and then we go, he's in Manila. When is he coming? Well, he said he wants to pick something in Japan. Japan? Very far! I thought he should be coming back. We are thinking about life here. What kind of pastor is he? And then Lazarus died. He said it.
Yes.
You see? And then, okay, I'll talk to the priest on your behalf. We can give you a second place burial. And then we can reconsider the steps on unconfirmed priest to come and bury Lazarus. And then, we don't need that. Just, okay, we can also help you arrange the grave, the coffin or whatever, with time and everything. And they were doing all of that, mocking them daily. The fourth day, Jesus arrived. When he came, he was not polite enough to go to the house of mourning. He hung around just in the street and sent to call them. Amen. And when they came, he said, the master is around. And Martha stood up, secretly she ran out. Now, what do you think will be her expression if she comes in contact with this kind of pastor that have made so much a mess to their lives? I think she will just tell him off and then express herself, and then that will not be wrong. But when she got there, she fell first and worshipped him and said, Master, if you were here, my brother Lazarus would not have died.
Yes.
Amen. Look at what she said. She didn't say, is this the time that you are coming in? Why did you keep so long until, okay, you want to eat the cups, come and eat it up. Amen. If you were here, Lazarus, my brother, will not have died. Now that means that she is still having faith in who he said he was. If you do not appreciate a ministry, that ministry cannot bless you.
Right.
What you do not accept, you cannot benefit from it. So she said that, and then it touched the master. And they continued to discuss. She went to call Mary. Now there was no time for her to discuss with Mary what to say or how to put her voice to speak to the master or whatever. Mary came out also crying, and when she came down to the Lord Jesus Christ, she repeated the same thing. Oh master, if you were here, right, Lazarus my brother would not have died. Now you see, because they believed the same thing, they spoke the same.
Right.
When we believe something and that thing is true, we will become that thing if we continue. Jesus said, if ye continue in my words, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. Then are ye my disciples indeed. So they are already disciples. But what about if they don't continue? They will not be disciples indeed.
Right.
To be disciples indeed is to become what we have believed. That what we believe will become the part of us, and then we will also give it out for others to believe.
Amen.
So she said that statement. She said, she made the statement, if you were here, Lazarus, our brother, would not have died. Now, it continued. We find out that Jesus, when he received that statement from Mary the second time, the Bible says, his heart was cut. He was pricked in the heart. And he wept. Because these people were looking beyond the circumstances. They were not careful about what the people were saying. They never cared about the mockery. It was not enough. They were looking at the God word that they have received.
Amen.
In moments of distress, we should remember that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We should remember that the things that are warring against us are not the carnal things. Yes, in the carnal fight, you find out that you can see the faces of people, you can hear the voices of people, but you must learn to look beyond their faces, you must learn to hear beyond their voices, hear what the Lord is saying. Amen.
Amen.
Because if we believe God, yes, it's good that we believe, but we must prove it. And how will we prove it? We will be tested. These believers were tested of their claim. their faith was tested to see if they truly believe what they say they believe. And they did not let him down. They proved their faith. Amen. They proved what they believe.
Amen.
If you were here, they were not expecting Lazarus to come back to life on the immediate. Martha said to Jesus, I know that in the resurrection, at the end, he shall come alive. But you don't need to postpone it. Jesus was saying, I am the resurrection and the life. That resurrection that is coming at the end of the earth, at the end of the world, is here today. I am here today. I am the resurrection and the life. I can still do it right now. And she was not, it's not a problem. Her problem was not bringing Lazarus back to life. No. But thank God that you are here at last. Thank God that we can say our pastor had come. Even though he came through the back door. Even though he came standing in the street. But we are okay that you have come. But if you were here, he would not have died. It never changed anything. Oh, I know people will not come back to church. I can't go back to that church. Why? Because the way the pastor treated me. Have we come to worship the pastor? Or we have come to worship God? Were we called by the pastor? Or were called by God? It is very, very important to know. I tell, like I was talking to some ministers' wives there in Philippi, in Manila. I said, you have to separate the pastor from your husband. You have to separate the pastor from your father. You have to separate the pastor from your brother. Know when he is your brother and know when he's talking as a pastor. Amen. And that's the problem with the end time message people, because they are not able to separate the prophet from the man. They're not able to separate the prophet from the American. So when he's talking as a natural American man, they bring it into the message and say, that's the message. That can't be the message. Amen.
Amen.
This man was a husband. He was a father. He had the problems that we also have. He had to pay school fees. He had to talk to a stubborn child. He had to talk to a rebellious person, family close members. He had all these problems.
Right.
And having these problems, he must be a human being to sort them out.
Amen.
But we find out that when the Spirit of God will come upon him, he will speak to the church what he expects the church to hear. That is the vital point. That is the most important point. Where we must identify and then we separate from all other points. Yes, the life of the man also. Because if you have believed something, Paul said, it's not the Lord that is saying this. I am the one saying this, but I think I have the Holy Ghost. Our life, when we believe, when we become something, when we are truly as something, our life will become what we believe. Amen. So we find it that these people, this Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, not thinking about the loss that they have incurred, not thinking about the embarrassment that they have gotten. They were ready to continue, even without Lazarus. They were ready to continue. It doesn't matter, because we know that what we have received indeed is life. They were ready to go forth. Nobody can talk us out of this. Nobody can tell us not to come back to the church. Nobody can tell us whether we have made a wrong choice. We know what we believe. The songwriter says, but I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When we have won only one choice as the bride, when we lose that choice to the bridegroom, we can't take it back. That's why Paul said he is the prisoner of Christ. We also prisoners of Christ.
Amen.
When we become prisoners of Christ, then we have no choice than to do the biddings of Christ, than to go the way that Christ wants us to go. So there is no turning back. We read of a captain who once took his men to attack an island, and when they got there, they offloaded themselves from the ship. He set the ship ablaze and burning. That's the kind of trip that we have entered. So if you're thinking of retreating, you have to swim. And I wonder how you swim across the sea. Amen. So if you know that there is no way out, fight to get a new ship, because the materials to create a new ship is inside there. Fight to conquer, take it, and then you can create a new ship. You must fight. That's why in the faith, in the protection of the believer, the back is the only thing that is not protecting. He's not protected. You can't turn your back. Don't turn your back at the enemy, because there is no protection. He will shoot you from behind.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Mary, when she came,
She was the one crying most because she was the youngest. When she came, maybe we thought that she would have said, "Oh, Jesus, it's not fair. Why have you done this? It's not expected of a pastor. What kind of a thing is this? Look at the people gathering. Look at what my uncle, look at my auntie, look at the shame, look at the shame." But she came, she bullshit all of them. "No, you don't care. I don't put them to aside. If you were here, if you were here, Lazarus, my brother, will not have died."
Amen.
Amen. She knew, she believed what she had believed. She had become what she believed. Amen. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Because I heard people shouting during the elections. And in the cafeteria, in lunch time, breakfast time, people, they keep shouting. Amen. This is the presence of God. This is where we ought to.
Right.
Now, our attitude matters. Amen.
Amen.
You see, take yourself that you are driving, for example, those of you who drive, and suddenly your brake fails. It's possible. You've done everything, you did every check-in, but suddenly you're on speed and then the brake doesn't, it doesn't kind of respond. Or maybe it's not the brake. Let me just say something. Maybe something is thrown or your tire got punctured. Your response, the next action you take will determine whether you will be alive or not. If you don't have, your cars do have shock absorbers, but your heart must have shock absorbers. Amen. You must have shock absorbers in your life. Every believer must have learned how to absorb shocks. When it happens, the first thing you need to do, if you have the Holy Ghost, brother, sister, calm down. There's nobody that can take the right decision in a hurry. And in fear, fear is wrong. Fear is never and will never be right. So you cannot take and make the right decision when you are afraid. So you calm down. The tire goes boom, bust off, and then the car is swerving, and then because you are afraid, you put your legs on the brakes. The car will, you will capsize. Amen.
Right.
If you don't die, then we'll come to visit you in the hospital. That's the only thing. But you can allow that it has happened. There's nothing you can do. You can't stop the car immediately. Allow. Try just to control. Put the situation under control. Even though you go and hit another car in front, it will not be as dangerous as when you apply the brakes and bring the car to a full stop and the wheel is touching the tire road. It will tumble and kill you. Amen. Our attitude towards the shootings of the enemy matters. It tells how much of God we have received.
Amen.
Amen. It tells how much of Him we have absorbed. Because when you allow Him to soak your life, to live in you, then nothing comes to God by surprise.
Amen.
Before you went out, He knows quite well what the day holds. And if you have committed yourself to Him before going out, then what's the need of being afraid? Yes, He knew that Lazarus was sick. He knew that Lazarus was going to die. Yet, He took His time. He did what He ought to do. He went about His business.
Amen.
Then when it came, the sisters were able to absorb it. They accepted it. Okay. It has happened that way. It will not temper with our relationship with the Lord. It will not affect our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For there is nothing that can happen behind Him.
Right.
He is aware, He allowed, then we must glorify Him. So, this attitude I'm talking about, if we say that He is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, if He is your shepherd, then you are a sheep. If you are a sheep, then look at the sheep.
see how the sheep is. If, for example, we are given an option to change into any animal of our choice, would you want to choose a sheep? Tell me the truth. Nobody would want to choose the sheep. Because the sheep is just a foolish guy.
Right.
There are six of them going on the road, and one goes, the vehicle, the next one will not say, my uncle is dead. He will still go. Because they, you know, without any leadership, they keep going until the six will die. Then they say, that's the end. But the goat won't do that, you know. You don't know that ABS, you know, your cars have an automatic brake system. The engineers got it from the goats. We back at home in Africa, when we have our goats, I bought the goat with my money. Now I decide to sell the goat. You come and see the problem. The goat, you have to tie and you pull, he gives the brake. He keeps putting the brake there. He can't go. Your own goat that you have bought with the money, take to the market, is a problem. He applies ABS. You can't tell me. But the sheep is not like that. The sheep doesn't even need to be tied. He's just going to hear the voice of the master, the owner. Okay, come, I'm going to sell you. Oh, yes, master. And he goes. Amen. So, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, let's not just consider it as God shepherding human beings. Right. But look at it in the real sense. That a shepherd and a sheep going together. Look at the atmosphere. Look at the fellowship. What the sheep? You will find fellowship among them. When they are together, they always want to be together. They don't want to be alone. They try to get along together. They try to share. You see one small bunch of grass here now. They come together, they try to share. And then they're always listening, trying to hear the sign, the voice of the shepherd. Amen. And then the shepherd says, maybe he gives them, they know the sign, and they will lift up their faces. And then he tells them something they begin to do. Their life is tied to the shepherd.
Amen.
Without a shepherd, nothing they can do. So, when he said, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want, then it tells us that our attitude should be like that of the sheep. Amen.
Amen.
When we are like that, then we will have total dependence on him. We will not depend on the education we have received. We will not depend on our finances. We will not depend. All the things are here. They were not given to us to control us. They were given to us. God allowed us to have these things so that we can more kind of better communicate and better control the things around us. But in the original, we were given the Spirit of God. Amen. That is the thing that God has given for it to control us. When we allow the Spirit of God to control us, then we are nearing to become what we have believed.
Amen.
I give you one example. Let us read something in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says, we do not war against flesh and blood. Second Corinthians chapter 10, I will read from verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled.
The battle is not really outside.
Right.
The battle is within us.
Right.
That's why I was saying our immediate response. I give another example, still by using the driving. Maybe you love driving long distance driving. You go long distance driving. And if while driving, a thought just flashes in your mind. You're going to have an accident. Have you experienced that before? You're just driving and then just a thought just. Or maybe you have you ever been in a plane? Maybe you're flying and then you know, this plane, what about if this plane crashes? It's a flying thought just coming. Amen. I can tell you something. That if you have absorbed that thought and begin to meditate on it, you can create it to happen. That's why the Bible says, casting down imaginations.
Satan has been over. He has been defeated. God had defeated the Satan by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Amen? Here on earth. Amen. He was cast down from heaven, defeated here on earth, and the victory was given to us. But you see, that victory you think you have, the enemy can still manipulate it. How will he do it? By thoughts. Some of us are still under the trap of certain habits that is not right. How does it come? By thoughts. When we build on our thoughts and then wrong thinking, then we start to yield.
Right.
We become servants of the devil. That is, it's like a son of a king going to serve a pauper. With all your wealth, with all your blessings, with all the goodness of the Lord around you, you take all of that to serve sin, to serve the devil. And then what happens? He controls what you have. You know, we're told a story once that a particular man, a king, wanted to die, and he just had one son, and he had a servant, and both of them were growing together, and the servant was more diligent than the son, more precise in his thinking, everything. So, you know what the man did? His will, he wrote there that the son should take only one thing out of the whole thing that he will see in the house, everything that he needs. But he has given all other things to the servant. Amen. He gives all other things to the servant and say, you take one thing, get away, and all the remaining will be to the servant. And then this young man started going around asking people, what kind of thing my father has done? What kind of rubbish is this? Why would my father do this? And then the elders told him, yes, did he say you should take any, just one thing? He said, remember, the servant is his. So take the servant. Amen. So he came back, and on the day the elders came together and said, yes, so son, what are you going to take? The land is there, the cars are there, you just need to take one. Anything, maybe you want the food, the cooked one, you can take. Just any of the pots, all cooked, take one, and you go away. Or you take the house, no, you can't even take the house, just take something out and get away. And then the young man stood up and said, there's nothing I want than this servant. I take the servant, it was my father's property. Oh, and the joy of the servant is not quenched. Amen. He had taken the right thing. The same thing we have on the opposite this time around. You as a son of a king, with all the wealth of blessing, with all the faith, with all the power, with all the promises that the Lord has made to you, and you have received this victory, the devil stands at the corner and gives you a whiff. How does he do that? He throws thoughts to you, and you begin to meditate on this thought. Brother Bram said, it's okay for a bird to fly over your head, but if you allow it to come down and build a nest, that's your problem. Amen. Now he's building a nest, day one, I wonder whether he didn't go to the bathroom. You build a nest the next day, it takes at least 1 month to finish building the nest. And he finished building the nest, it was there, and he started living there, laying eggs.
Right.
Amen. That's the last level of it. That is, you are not just becoming the son of God again, you are now serving sin.
Right.
And Paul said, must we of me continue in sin that grace my abundance? Said, God forbid. No, we've not received that kind of spirit.
Right.
So we need to cast down every imagination. The moment those thoughts will arise and come into our heart as maybe as a ball, as a tennis ball thrown to you, hit it back. It's not yours. You cast it down with the word of God.
Amen.
Our attitude is what I'm talking about here now. How do we face these things? How do we receive them? Once we find out that the enemy has come to us, he will just come simply. He will never announce his coming. He will never tell you that he's the enemy coming. I'm not talking about major problems now. Because you might say, okay, I'm preparing my mind. Any major problem, I know how to deal with it. But it might not come by the major. It can come by the minor. Just a small misunderstanding.
Right.
How we can deal with things. just little thing, just a very small thing, and then we get offended. Bible says, blessed is he that is not offended in me.
Amen.
Say, go and tell John what you have seen. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. There should never be a moment of offense, because we want to really be whom we say we are, becoming what we have believed.
Right.
So he says there, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. It is not something that you can handle with your bare hands, or you can see with your eyes. But you see, brothers and sisters, when we pray, when we believe, when we move forward, when we ask, when we press on, you may not see it, because as you are kneeling down praying, you are not seeing anything. That also. But I tell you that it's faster than if you would have run.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It pays you than if you have jumped up. It profits you than if you have shoot a gun. Amen. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. That word of God that you remember, and then you bring it up again. Put it before the problem. Look at it. When Satan came to Jesus, the same way he comes to you, not a different way, because if he came a different way, then he's cheating. The same way he speaks to you in your heart and says, oh, you do this. You are in the junction. You are trying to decide. And the enemy is telling you, he talks more. God is not a talkative. Amen. The enemy talks more. Oh, do this. He gives you one and one reason why you should do it, and what people will think when you don't do it. And then you get into the trap when your life is still under the bondage of what will people say. Amen. There are still many Christians. You hear from their mouth, I wonder what people will think. Yeah, you are very far. Amen. The thinking of the people have nothing to do with you. Amen. Somebody's wife, her dressing is to please her husband. Is that so?
Right.
Everything she does, I can be angry about it. That's not my business. That's not her business. It is how she will please her husband. If the husband is happy to it, then, okay. So, but now when you are saying you are a believer, and you are still saying, what will my neighbors say? Who are these neighbors? Who are they to stop it?
Yes.
What are they to you?
Right.
They have no business. You're not traveling on the same road. In fact, they are not existing.
Right. Amen.
Amen. They are not there in that picture. The most important thing is you think what the Lord is thinking about you.
Right.
And you already know what the Lord is thinking about you by his word. Because he is making you the revelation of his thoughts.
Right.
Amen. So it is what the Lord wants you to be that matters to you.
Amen.
You see, brother, if I do this now, people think I'm crazy. Yes. Until they think you are crazy, you have not started. You are not on the right track.
Right.
When you are still sane in their eyes, then you are still one of them.
Amen. That's right.
When you are still okay before them, you are still one of them. Nothing has happened.
Right.
The word of God comes to make us unusual men. We become unusual people. Unusual creatures. That's what we have become. So people are getting afraid. You know, then we used to have, during these military days in Nigeria, you can go out in the morning and next thing you see people running. Because either there's a riot somewhere, everybody's just running. And then somebody's coming up, he doesn't know what they're running for. He doesn't know where the thing is happening. You can just run into trouble. And then you just say, people are running, and then you join them in the morning and say, brother, why are you running? Say, they are running. They are running. And so I'm running. Running where? You need to know what you are running from.
Right.
So thinking can be because they may be running from God. Maybe God is telling them, said, oh, my sons, come. And they said, no, we don't want God. We're running to the devil. And he joined them. Because you never took the right step. You do want to absorb.
That's
amen.
True.
You need to wait, understand what is happening. They are running. Oh, we're told that when they run this way, we should run the opposite direction. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to understand. We need to know that if we have believed this, what we have become, we must try as much as possible to become, to get into this level of maturity where it is no longer because Brother Kathy invited me to church. Brother Kathy, thank you, you have done your part. I've come to see it myself. Remember what this Samaritan said to the woman? Not because you told us. We have now seen it. So your level, your work finished when you told us.
Right.
And we have come to see now it's our own work also. Right. It's our price. God wants us to come to that line. So there will be a straight line. Everyone will be in that straight line. It doesn't matter. All we need to do is to make sure that when our hand is weak, we put our hands and lift our hand. Whereas, whether its knees are getting weak, we strengthen that knee and we move forward because it's a chain. Amen. If the chain is broken, then the line will not be complete. Amen.
Right.
So we keep going. We find out that we want to talk to ourselves here. Amen. You see, the thing is this. Back in Africa then, there's this mentality of, that's the pastor's job. Somebody has left the fellowship. That's the pastor's job. That's the work of the pastor. That's the pastor's job. Everything, that's the pastor's job. You see, we are not in a denomination where people, you know, we have these ranks of promotions and, you know, today you are coming to a floor member. From a floor member, you are promoted to a corporal. You are an usher, you can stand and welcome people. From there you are promoted to sing, then you are promoted to be an evangelist, you are promoted to be a reverend, then you'll be promoted to be a bishop. It, you know, they keep promoting themselves like that. We're not in that session. Amen. We are in God's kingdom, where God is the king. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when we come into the body of Christ, we immediately try to, maturity is to try to identify what part of the body you are. Amen. What part are you? Look at your body this morning. Every part of your body is useful. Is there doing something? And there is cooperation. Everything jointly fitted with the head, then the movement goes.
Right.
The other day I was talking about identity, identifying with the head. Yeah. So, this part of the body, remember that the Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Right.
The shoulder is the beginning of the body. The neck is just a separating factor. Then from here, you see, when it comes there, it's really, because if you say the neck, the head can say, I'm the owner of the neck. And the body can say, no, it is the body. There's this dragging. But the Bible is so clear, it said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yes.
Now if the government is upon his shoulder, it means that it is upon us, the body. Amen. So now that the government is upon us, the authority is upon us, and then we must put this authority to use. You know, I was given an example somewhere. Take a policeman with his handcuffs, his pistol, and all the gadgets, fitly well dressed, and his cap, everything comes to you, and then he comes to a criminal and say, please, don't be annoyed, Mr. Criminal. I just want you to follow me to the police station. You'll be highly rewarded. Please, don't be offended. And he's a policeman. Or he's supposed to be a policeman. Maybe he's not. Amen. He comes to beg the man. See, you see, if you follow me, I will be promoted. Just follow me to the station and then we see whether you'll be arrested or not. Somebody that we have been looking for. Or maybe he meets the type of the one that we are still looking for, you know. And then he says, you don't need to do that. It is because you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
If you know who you are, you get that man, you hit him, he's a plus. Yes! You shoot him down, whatever you say is true. And he wanted to run away, that's why I shot him on the legs. Nobody will doubt you. It is in your power. All you need to do, present him at the station. We want him. Amen. Whether dead or alive, bring him. You have the authority. So, if we have recognized who we are, then we must function. We must learn to function in our own position.
Right.
You can say, I'm not doing so much. The pastor is traveling to preach somewhere, but I can tell you, that there are people who put their knees to the ground and make it possible out there. Amen. As I'm here, going around those islands and everything, I was traveling on the day I was coming from Singapore. I got a call from Nigeria, and they told me, "Pastor, please pray. We dreamt that there was a plane crash. We don't know what happened." I said, "Okay, that's not my place to pray. You pray. If you want me back, pray. I'm not going to pray. I'm tired. You pray. The flight is in the next." I was in fact going to the airport. I said the flight is next 4 hours. So pray. I finished my own part. You have your own part. Paul went everywhere and said, "I ask you for your prayers." Amen.
Amen.
Now he knew that every person must have what he's holding. It might not be pronounced, but the Bible tells us that those part of our body that seems weaker are the ones that God that we esteem or kind of we take care of more. Right. Is that not so?
Yes.
So it might not be pronounced that maybe, "Oh, you know, Brother Kathy, do you know I'm praying for you?" No. "Oh, Brother James, do you know I'm praying for you?" "Oh, Brother Paul, I'm the one praying." No. But that which is done in the secret is what the Lord might put up first.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we must, after this meeting, consider, think within ourselves, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" God can just call you to just sit down. Every Sunday you sit down and then you say, "Oh, the service are finished. Okay. On Friday we go to this fellowship, we sit down, maybe a few testimony, it's okay." No, it's not true.
Right.
There's something you are called to do. You find it out and start doing it.
Right.
I tell you, I wonder how many of us know that. One can come to church on a Sunday morning with a heavy heart, and a special song from one of our brothers or sisters will be that which the Lord will use to lift up that body.
Right.
So we come to service. Somebody should give a song. Not just what we sing. They could be a ministration, an offering of song to the Lord that you can say, "Please, please, I have a special song." And then you come stand here and lift up your voice to the Lord. And with that song, the Lord visit that sister that is heavy-hearted and lift up the burden. Just that. Remember,
Amen.
In His presence, the Bible says there is fullness of joy and gladness evermore. When we come into His presence, we are not coming to be trapped. Amen. But we come knowing that He can pass by in any way to do what He wants to do.
Amen.
So we must find out. Find out that thing that you must do. Find out where you must exact certain labor in order for you to keep the kingdom going.
Amen.
We must get involved in the economy of God. We must get involved in His program. We must identify ourselves and say, He said to the woman, "I will give you living water. And this living water shall flow from your belly forevermore." Amen. Now, is the living water going to flow just for flowing sake? It's flowing because she also is going to be given out to people to drink. Amen. That which we have received, we are able to give out. The other time I said this about happiness and joy. You see, happiness is just a guest. You hear, you get happy. You hear, you get angry. But that's not. When you become what you believe, you absorb the pressure. Amen.
Amen.
You hear the wrong thing, you just give it a place to stay. Not the whole room. Yes, you've heard it because you've heard it is in your mind. But you remember who you are. And then you open the fountain of joy and give praise to God.
Amen.
The Bible says Paul and Silas, they were chained, fetters bounding their feet, and locked down to the ground. They could not move. When the hours of prayer came, the Bible says they started praying and they were singing. And the Holy Ghost that cannot be trapped, your soul cannot be trapped, your joy cannot be trapped. The Holy Ghost came down
and the whole place was shaken. Now, the things that happen in the spirit are more real than the things that we see.
Yes.
Because that's the only real thing.
Amen.
When he shook the head,
right.
When he shook the tent, the prison yard, every chain, not just their chain, every other chains were broken. Why? Because they expressed themselves. Because they absorbed the pressure. They did not allow the condition to weigh them down. Amen. The world is not going to get better. Whatever government you are voting in, whether the opposition or the position or the interposition, nothing is going to change.
Right.
Everything is the same. It's the same war, the same Satan. But when we become what we believe, then we will be fulfilled.
Right.
What we are looking for is true fulfillment.
Right.
Somebody say, oh, when I get married, everything is okay. Okay, we wait for you. When you get married, that's where you will not complain. And then you got married, then the complaint increased. You were complaining 10%. Now you are complaining 50%. Okay, when I get the house, wait, you get the house, the new house. And then your complaint percentage rises to 70. Everything that comes is just increasing the problem, increasing your level of complaint. But if you trust in the Lord, as we read, trust, put your trust in Him, put your confidence in Him, lift up your burden to Him, absorb the pressure, have the sense of control, know that you are in charge. Every son of God is in charge. Amen.
Amen.
It is not the situation that is in charge. It is you that is in charge. You should take charge of the situation. That's why Jesus looked at Peter while he was sinking. Because he was looking at him, oh, brother, you should take charge. You know what to do. Take charge. Don't you care, Lord? Oh, he cares. You know he cares. But it is you who don't want him to care.
Yes.
Because he cannot care from the outside. He only will care from the inside. Amen.
Amen.
And that is inside. You are the one holding the key of care. So take charge. Take charge of it every time. The Holy Ghost helps us in all phases of life. When there is disagreement between son, father disagreement, mother, daughter disagreement. Some parents make the mistake they don't want to be in talking levels. That's very wrong.
Right.
Amen. You need to get close. Let the spirit, when your spirit is light, bring your light to his darkness, and his darkness will disappear.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Take charge. Don't ever give the devil what he wants. He wants you to be a complainant. The people murmured, and they were destroyed in one day, 22,000, for murmuring. They only murmured. You know, murmuring is, let me say, is a respectable way of making complaints.
Right.
Because if, for example, I'm, look at my age, look at Brother Kathy, and I'm angry with him, then he's my, and I say, Brother Kathy, I don't like what you're doing. In Africa, it's an insult, you've insulted him. Yes, you don't do that. But if, it's a respectable way of complaining. Then he said, what's wrong? Then he asked me, I said, but I didn't like her. Hey, he's the one that asked. Amen. But what this? They only murmured. Can you imagine? They only murmured for what was their right. And God came and 22,000 died just like that. Paul said, these things were written for our examples.
Uh-huh.
To the intent that we should not commit idolatry.
Amen.
That we should not murmur.
Right.
We should avoid fornication.
Right.
Amen. And we should not tempt Christ.
Right.
Check these things out.
Amen.
Nobody here in this fellowship should ask God, Lord, I don't know your will about it. No, you are lying. You know his will, because the word of God is his will. But you are trying to have your way. You know, when we try to have our way, we know this thing. I was just talking to some believers then in Manila. You know, we have a lot of scammers in Nigeria.
that even in the churches, when the voice of God was duped in Nigeria, that's why now we when the voice of God was duped in Nigeria, they called all of us together and said, now you're going to learn to identify these people and send out these messages to other pastors and the people in the church so that they understand. Maybe they send you an email, oh please, Yahoo, update your account. Don't respond to that. Don't respond. Give your name, your email, your account number, your password. This, don't do that. This, that. Whatever you see that kind of mail, put it out. Because when they receive that, they will go in, they are going to do what? Block you because they've opened the mail, empty all your inbox. You don't carry those emails on your head. And then they start writing, replying to those people and doing all sorts of things. A lot of things happened, and Voice of God lost about 300 new Bibles of King James. You know? And then we got the fellow arrested because we followed up and we did that. So if you want this, if things like that, children of God, sons of God, you should not fall into any of those sort of things. Your spirit should tell you what is right. The Holy Ghost is not there, so oh, I can't do this. There's nothing he can do. He's going to stand for you in every phase of life. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
May we learn to absorb this thing. May we learn to become that which we have received.
Yes.
Let us stand up into that level of maturity. We cannot continue all the while. For 5 years, we'll just be the same way. No, it's not a normal thing. If you have a child, and the child is 5 years still sitting down, every time, ba 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 ba, you'll be tired. You'll be tired. He's there. 5 years, he knows all the names of the neighbors. He knows all the names of BRT station, and then he's still sitting down, not walking. You'll be tired. He's no longer a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to stand up, start to walk, start to cross, start to do something, and it's just start going somewhere. Start it. Just start keeping, start moving. Then you'll get there. Amen. And the Lord will help us. Amen.
Amen.
He will help us identify that which our position is.
Amen.
Certainly, we have a work to do.
Amen.
You just need to rise up and start doing it. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
We are expecting these people to come in the afternoon. And I pray, amen, that the Lord will have his way in that meeting.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we want to bless your name. Because we know that you do not call us in vain.
Jesus.
You predestinated us, and that's why we receive this call to be your sons, Lord, and daughters. And so, Lord, we pray that we will not be idle in your presence.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, wherever our outlets are, maybe in our offices, in our schools, may we represent Christ.
Yes.
May we not be ashamed of who you are. May we not be ashamed of the gospel that we have received.
Yes.
May we not be ashamed of our pastors even.
Amen.
May we not be ashamed of this ministry that we have received, O Father.
Yes.
But may we have the grace, O Lord, and the courage to continue to move, to rise up, and to do something. O Lord, maybe you are laying it in the hearts of some people here to sing songs, maybe to give a sign. I pray, Father, whatever is holding them down, let that yoke be broken. May they receive the liberty to be effective in the house of the Lord. We pray this moment, O Father, Lord, that we will not receive so much and not pour out. May we find atmosphere for us to offload of that which we have received. That we might be filled daily. Daily feeling. Daily infilling of your power. Daily infilling of your spirit. Bless every soul here, O Father. Lay your hands on them, O Lord, in wherever they need your touch. And may your goodness, O Lord, shine upon their lives.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be your name forever, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.